All right, OTAs get started today for the Houston Texans. The one today and there's one on Friday. They're both open to the media, so there'll be plenty of coverage. Keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610 all week long, as you do during the season and throughout the offseason. We appreciate that. DeMeco Ryans will meet with the media today, as will some of the players, so it'll be interesting to see who we hear from. Big questions for the for OTAs today, Seth. These are the questions I have, and again, we should point out there are no pads. There's no hitting going on. Probably a lot
no
of walk-
one-on-one pass rush or anything. It's yeah. all just 7-on-7, 11-on-11, no pads.
Yeah, yeah. So, but to your point, we do get to see maybe some formations and things like that and at least get the first glimpse of what they're thinking when it comes to first stringers and whatnot.
100% this is what's going to happen today. Whichever the first offensive line configuration that goes out there is going to be reported, and then immediately afterwards, a coach or GM or somebody is going to remind everybody, hey, don't read into this too much.
Yep.
We're all just – it's going to change day by day. And that might make you feel nervous, and it might make you feel like less secure. Just remember that they're having that same conversation in Cleveland about the quarterbacks that –
That's
like
so
at any
true.
Given point, any of these five quarterbacks might go out there as the starter,
This is not the greatest spot to be in where you've got nine offensive linemen vying for five spots and they're shuffling all over. But yes, at least it's not four quarterbacks, including two rookies, battling for your starting QB job.
Don't worry. Any one of five quarterbacks might show up as the starter on this OTA. God. But rest assured, we don't feel great about any of them, okay?
That's a
this
good
is
point,
a competition.
Seth. Yeah, that's a really good point. So you're absolutely right. Now, it's interesting. Jonathan Alexander, I have a few more questions we'll hit here, but as long as we're talking about the offensive line, he made a prediction on his OTA question piece that went up on the Chronicle left to right as to what he thinks the starting offensive line is going to be.
Yeah,
he had Trent Brown at right tackle, and I feel like every time we talk about right tackle, it's like, okay, is Titus going to play tackle or guard, or is Blake Fisher going to resume the starting spot that he held at the end of last season? Boy, might Ariante Ursary get into the mix here? They used a second-round pick on him. I can't remember one time where you and I entertained the idea, at least me, I don't want to speak for you, where I've entertained the idea of Trent Brown being the starting right tackle for this team.
I've entertained it. With Trent Brown, he's well into his 30s, and he's got he's coming off a torn patellar tendon.
Yeah.
So that's what I just don't know about him. And, like, how bad was the patellar tendon injury and all of that. But, yeah, if he's healthy and he's not on the PUP in game one, then I think there's a good chance he's a starting right tackle. I guess I'm just skeptical that at his age it's going to be a less than 1 year recovery from patellar tendon.
Yeah, dude, I feel like if Trent Brown is your starting right tackle, something's gone wrong with Blake Fisher. You know, like it's that he's just not showing enough to be out there, or that he got hurt in some way and it's Trent Brown. Like that blindly, if you told me Trent Brown's your starting right tackle, I would say, okay, then Blake Fisher regressed somehow in the offseason.
Well, I mean, he is a Trent Brown's
advance.
A better offensive tackle than Blake Fisher was last year, 100%.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of if he's until I hear that he's, and if he goes out there today and he's running around and he's healthy and everything, then he'll be in the conversation.
Yep.
He's a good player, and you know, all those other guys at right tackle other than Titus Howard are still a work in progress.
Yep. Question number two, will Dameon Pierce capitalize on the reps he gets in 11-on-11, at least in terms of internalizing the new offense? Joe Mixon, according to Aaron Wilson, is going to miss practices here. He was in a walking boot. It doesn't sound like it's serious, but he's going to miss some time, which happened last year, too, in training camp. Remember, Joe Mixon missed a ton of training camp last year.
I believe Aaron Wilson was the first to report anything about Christian Harris, and at the time it was being treated like, oh, just no big deal, whatever. We were out there first day of practice. Christian Harris had been doing – he did an interview a week before training camp about how great he felt, and then we're out there on the first day of training camp practice. And about 10, 15 minutes into it, everybody's looking around like, where is Christian Harris,
yes,
by the way?
And that persisted.
Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. He'll be fine by December.
And that persisted for 14 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
So the Mixon thing, so I guess good point. If the point is let's wait and see on just how serious Mixon is, I can accept that. But this is a big year for Dameon Pierce. It's a contract year for Dameon Pierce. They drafted a running back who presumably is going to put some pressure on Dameon Pierce. Dameon Pierce was not getting on the field at the end of last season other than the Titans game where he looked really, really good. But at nut cutting time, when the team needed to trust multiple running backs, they trusted one running back. It was Joe Mixon. That was it in playoff time. So this is a big OTA. This is a big offseason for Damian Pierce. Let's just put it that way. The third question I have, Seth, what can we learn about Nick Caley's offense in an OTA environment? What is there anything, because this is going to, I hope, look different than Bobby Slowick's offense. A lot of similar elements, I would imagine, but certainly some differences. What can we glean?
I think it's you're going to read into it way too much because that's what we do. But I do think you're going to see a more evolved quick game and probably a real emphasis on getting the ball out quickly. C.J. Stroud potentially controlling more at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yeah.
Might be able to really get a feel for that because that's going to be something that probably in the first day of OTAs they don't necessarily do a lot. But over as things progress, if we start seeing C.J., A, get up to the line with time to do something, and then B, C.J. actually really work in the pass protections, checking plays, more than just a quick, simple either-or audible, that's something we might be able to pick up on.
You know, D'Amico will throw things at C.J. You know what I mean? Yeah. D'Amico, the D.C., will throw things at C.J.
But with Slowick, the methodology was very much old-school Kubiak-Shanahan, where don't worry about the quarterback thinking too much at the line of scrimmage. We're going to get up, and we're going to run the play, and there will be an option within the play. It sounds like from what Nick Caley has said and what C.J. Stroud has said, is that, no, this might hopefully look a little bit more like the true veteran quarterbacks. Get up to the line of scrimmage with 15 seconds left on the play clock, and you can sit and diagnose and actually do something intellectually as a quarterback instead of just getting the snap off on time.
I guess this is sort of a question, maybe more of an observation that I'm looking forward to is who's does C.J. Gardner-Johnson, any new guys, like who's bringing the juice to this stuff? Because last year, I mean, you were out there, Seth. You know, like Stephon Diggs brought a big energy to these practices, and he's not there anymore. So I'm not saying there's an energy vacuum or anything like that. There's a ton of guys that really like being out there. It's a swarmy team. But, you know, see, I'm anxious to see. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I think, was brought in as much for his energy as it was his productivity. You know, like he's a guy who brings the juice. So that part. In a practice where there's no hitting, there's no pads or anything like that, I'm anxious to see just the interactions with some of the new guys out there.
I think the one thing that stuck from OTAs last year was, wow, this team really likes Kamari Lassiter.
They're
treating him like, oh yeah, he's 100% in the mix to be the starting cornerback. And with Kalen Bullock, it wasn't as clear cut and forthright, and that would match with the types of players they were. Kamari Lassiter was much more polished than Kalen Bullock was. So if we start to see either Jaden Higgins or Jalen Noel really heavily involved with the ones, I'll read into that. Yeah. I think that's fair enough to do. They trust them with running the offense and everything in OTAs, then that might mean something.
Yeah, for sure. And their spot's open at receiver right now, man. Like that is a big audition going on right now. So those are mine. Did you happen to see Diggs living his best life yesterday? Like Stephon Diggs.
He was out on a boat having a party.
Yeah.
Or participating at a party.
Yeah.
Of his possible girlfriend, Cardi B.
Right.
And people were making a big deal out of this one video. And the caption I saw, the one that had like 2 million retweets or whatever, said, Stephon Diggs caught flirting on video at a Cardi B party, or at a party that Cardi B was at.
Right.
And you watch the video and you're like, he is not the flirter here. He is the flirtee.
Yeah.
There were three women just crowded around him with a gaga eyes, just soaking in everything.
Touching his chains.
They were coming after him.
Yeah.
It looked like he was the prey.
Yeah.
I felt bad for him. Like when you watch a cute little koala bear get devoured by some beast. Yeah. He was, if anything, he needed to hashtag me too up out of there. All Stephon Diggs was doing was being himself, and these women were just pressing, like, just in a competition with each other. Like they were looking for a space at the bar.
Good-looking guy, man. He's a good-looking guy with charisma and money.
There wasn't anything that looked like he was paying a bunch of extra attention to one of them or anything.
Yeah.
Just leave Stephon Diggs alone.
That party.
Let him live his life at some party that 15 years from now is going to come up in a deposition.
That looked like a fun party, man. Did you see the other videos? The video you're talking about was just strictly honed in on Diggs with the three women around him.
Yeah.
But boy, some of the wide shots of that party that surfaced, that was a
it looked
like
any party that you and I would take our wives to.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
Diggs, Brandy, get over there and shake it a little bit.
Yeah.
For the social media.
Like,
is this
a Diggs party or is this my 30th birthday party? I can't even tell. On a yacht with a bunch of women twerking. It was the same exact thing. Back in 1999. Yes, same exact thing.
I get the feel that Cardi B and Stephon Diggs are probably of a like mind, kind of like when Jack Nicholson and Shirley MacLaine were together. They're just kind of like, all right, listen, it's a free and swinging time in America and with society. We just, you know, whatever happens, happens. We'll be cool.
Okay, I didn't even know Jack Nicholson was with Shirley MacLaine at one point.
I don't know if he was.
So I'm assuming anybody under the age of 40 didn't know. That was great. You got anything?
I don't know if he actually. No, you know what? I'm messing up because terms of endearment. I don't think he dated Shirley MacLaine.
Okay,
he was just with her in terms of endearment.
Hey, are you excited that we get a joint practice? That was announced yesterday. It was reported. I don't know if the team announced anything, but. I think it came from the Panthers side. Canales may have mentioned it at their OTAs that the Texans and the Panthers, baby, going to be practicing leading up to that preseason game. That's fun.
Yeah, the good times.
Good times,
got
man.
Got Blake out there. We're going to get him mic'd up. Bryce Young, not Blake Young. Bryce Young.
Bryce Young.
Hold on, I'm going to give myself a ding.
Yeah, he's going to walk over. He's going to walk over to the Texans, walk over to C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, and he's going to give him a little. Yeah, get away, little man. We're trying to have a practice.
There will be a feverish attempt to spin any and all comments by C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young.
Oh, yeah. And I will be the one doing it. Yeah.
They're going to try to take some kind of banal statement one of those guys make and turn it into headline porn. And I think C.J. is going to be the one that gets the brunt of it.
Yeah, you don't have to say.
Bryce Young, his actual voice, you can't interpret anything he says as malice.
Yeah.
C.J. will try to say something nice about Bryce Young, and it's going to be interpreted as shade by somebody.
You somewhere. Don't have to say somebody or they. You know who's going to do it. It's going to be me. I'm going to do it. I will take the quotes from both of those guys and turn it into something that it's not. Of course
C.J. does a really good job with those types of questions because he goes over the top and professing his admiration and love for Bryce Young or Jaden Daniels.
Yeah,
anytime somebody brings up, like, hey, what about Jaden Daniels breaking all your records? C.J. goes over the top. Like, I've known him
Inland
forever. It's
Empire,
awesome. Good for him.
Yep. Yeah. Inland Empire kid, blah, blah, blah. We also get this.
Oh, I worked back here in the city probably a week and a half, for real. Them boy had me cooking the gizzles, the chicken, little. Oh, they had me cooking the chicken and all this. The Latumbles.
I will be running to a Xavier Leggett media scrum. I will be sprinting over there. That's Xavier Leggett, for those who don't know. And for those of you wondering, what was he saying there? A, I get it. B, he was talking about his first job ever at KFC, cooking the gizzards and the chicken necks and the livers and things like that.
KFC should, at some point, I would imagine he'd get an endorsement out of that. I mean, I would love to. He's a great spokesperson. And he's willing to have fun. He's willing to have fun with people about how people have a hard time understanding what he's saying.
So they
could really have some fun with that. You know, subtitles and all that for whatever he's pushing at KFC.
This is what
Tell me about these bowls.
Yeah.
These bowls look enticing.
Right,
that's how the commercial's
got
all.
Got macaroni and cheese with the chicken nuggets and the this was him picking his winning horse in the Kentucky Derby with Kay Adams.
How should I pick my horse?
Well, me personally, I'm always trying to go for the underdog.
Okay,
yeah,
underdog.
So I'm going for Chunk of Gold. Everybody, they think that he's going to lose.
Who?
Chunk of Gold. That's his name. That's the horse I'm going for
today.
Field.
I can't understand what you're saying. What?
Chunk of Gold.
Chunk of Goat?
Gold. G-O-L-D.
Chunk of Gold?
Yeah.
G-O-L-D. See, he gets it, though, man. Like, he loves that Adam Thielen is his translator.
Adam. So Adam Thielen is...
Short, white Adam Thielen is
I love
translator.
That little aspect of it, because it removes all of anybody that wants to try to, you know, bait or anything on the text line. Like, no, Adam Thielen is the only guy in the receiver's room who understands what Xavier Legette is saying. All right?
I'm going to say...
Okay, this is across the board. People from all locales and backgrounds don't understand what Xavier Legette is
unbelievable.
Saying.
Unbelievable. We got to get David Tepper to throw a drink at us too, Seth. That's the other thing. The owner of the Panthers. He's very easily riled up.
Well, remember, you know, the Panthers, they were hailed for sending basically their entire organization to all the pro days of the various players.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas the Texans very lightly attended C.J. Stroud's pro day, if I remember correctly, which more people use that as fuel for the fire the Panthers are out here. They're sending people who definitely don't have a valid opinion to the pro day.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Texans didn't send half their organization. Obviously, the Texans aren't taking a quarterback.
Yeah, no. How about the Panthers sent a bunch of people to waste their time by going to this thing? Like, that's the sign of what kind of organization
it was. No, some of the job titles of the people that were at
insane.
The quarterback pro days, it was crazy.
It was
how
stupid
it was.
All right, Astros win last night. We have a Yordan Alvarez update. And we've got NBA playoffs as well. We've got a ton of stuff to get to here in headlines, and we will do that coming up next.